Welcome to another segment of the Agricultural Market Viewpoint. This is a podcast where we reflect on various themes influencing the agricultural economy here at home in South Africa and beyond our borders. Folks, the Southern Africa region's agriculture is not in good shape. Perhaps this is something that we should have all expected because we are, after all, in an El Nino weather phenomenon this time around. But the El Nino did not start in its usual way in the 2023-24 production season. Typically, during an El Nino cycle in Southern Africa, it will be dry, below normal rainfall. The climatic conditions will be pretty much harsh. It will be very hot in a number of regions, to an extent that farmers will typically struggle to plant from the start of the season, and the season would continue on those harsher weather conditions and typically leading to poor harvest in agriculture. This is certainly something that we saw in the last harsh El Nino season, which was in 2015-16 in Southern Africa. But of course, if you are farming in East Africa, when it's an El Nino in Southern Africa, on your side in East Africa, it usually brings above normal rainfall, while La Nina is the opposite. For example, in the past three seasons, Southern Africa have been under the La Nina weather phenomenon, which brought excellent rainfall and supported agriculture. While if you talk to farmers that were farming in Kenya, Ethiopia, they will tell you that the past three seasons were pretty much harsh for them. They didn't receive much rainfall, and they struggled with droughts, and there were food security issues in a number of communities there. This time around, though, in Southern Africa, the season started differently than the past few years. We experienced and received excellent good rainfall from October, to an extent that farmers planted the typical area that they would plant in a number of countries, certainly in South Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Mozambique. Talk to people in Namibia, Lesotho, Botswana, and the likes. They all saw a better start of the season, and they planted. It is only around about February 2024 where the weather conditions began to be quite harsh in a number of countries. And it is also within this month of February going into March where you saw that there were major losses of the crops in a number of countries. To an extent that over the past week, three major producers of maize in Southern Africa, which is South Africa, Zambia, Zimbabwe, they all issued reports that were signaling that there's a big problem at hand with regards to grain supplies in their region. In South Africa, for example, the Crop Estimate Committee, which is a body that estimates how much crop the country would produce, it's comprised of scientists, economists, statisticians from government, private sector, academia, and some independent research organizations. They signaled that the country has a problem at hand, lowering their 2023-24 season's total grain production by 13% from the previous year and putting it at about 17.4 million tons. At the time they issued this, it's at the end of February, and many of us believe that they had in fact, some of the damages that may happen in the last week of February. We're recording this podcast now on the 9th of March, 2024. And it's been a couple of weeks since the issuance of the report, and there hasn't been any widespread excellent rain in South Africa, which means then that there could have been further damage across the country on the maize production, which essentially means then that the numbers that the Crop Estimate Committee signaled at the time should be taken with a huge pinch of salt. And if you're looking for data about how much grain production South Africa will actually have, it is better to look at the end of this month estimates that will also be released by the Crop Estimate Committee. If you look at the stable grain in the region, which is maize, the Crop Estimate Committee had already at the time signaled that South Africa's maize production would fall by 13% to 14.4 million tons. That was going to be sufficient to cover, of course, the needs of South Africa, because South Africa consumes around about 12 million tons of maize, and it would still leave it with a bit to export to the region. But as I said, all of that, those estimates are tentative. There's a lot more damage that has occurred since the publication of those estimates. Certainly, if one look at what Grain South Africa, a lobby group of grain farmers, have said in various surveys that they've done, that there's a lot more damage in the western regions of South Africa because of this heat wave and dryness. We have certainly also seen some of the pictures that the farmers have sent to us and in various regions that we have traveled to across the country. This is all to say South Africa, which is usually one of the major suppliers of maize to the region. In fact, if you look at Southern Africa region, 26% or so of the maize production comes from South Africa, and now the country is experiencing its own fair share of challenges with regards to production. Looking beyond South Africa to another important player is Zambia. Zambia has declared a national drought emergency and disaster in their country at the end of February. The president there, HH, came out and saying, look, we have a major problem. Roughly 1 million hectares of our maize has been damaged by drought. And now, if you consider that Zambia usually plants about 1.9 million hectares of maize. If the president says nearly 1 million hectares is destroyed, that means half of the crop then there is destroyed. That tells you then about the consequences for regional food security. Because Zambia is not only just as a second most important maize producer after South Africa, but it also supplies a number of countries when it has had an abundant supplies like Zimbabwe and some of the regional countries that depend on Zambia. Now, if Zambia has its own problems with regards to maize, it means that they too will be looking for maize to import so that they bridge the domestic gap. Zimbabwe is also in bad shape. I mean, we already know now from a range of statistics that roughly 2.7 million Zimbabweans may be at risk of hunger. These are the statistics that were reported by the start of the year. But since then, there's been official reports which are signaling that the country is looking to import about 1.1 million tons of maize. That will primarily be white maize. The question then is to say, where will Zimbabwe get that white maize? Because typically, they'll get a lot from South Africa and Zambia. Zambia is experiencing its own challenges. South Africa is still exporting now, but going forward, the supplies in South Africa also may be constrained. But when you look beyond these countries, you look at Namibia, Botswana, Lesotho, Madagascar, they are also in bad shape and will require some maize imports. This is all to say then that the Southern Africa region's maize supplies this time around will be quite stretched because of the dryness that we are experiencing. This El Nino, although started without being any intense, and many of us had declared that South Africa would have a decent agricultural season, and we were all hopeful, the conditions have changed. As to how much each of these countries will need to import, it's very difficult to predict that because you can say that the current conditions are almost more of working with a moving target, because as we're not receiving rainfall, the damage is continuing on a crop in a number of countries in the region, and the extent then of how much harvest will really materialize and how much of the harvest, how much of the crop they need to be imported is something that will be clear over the coming months. I also should make the point that we don't have a lot of maize that is under irrigation in the region. I mean, think of South Africa, where there's a lot of crops that are under irrigation. When you consider maize, only about 20% or so is under irrigation, similar story with soybeans. So this gives you a sense then about how rain fed dependent the crop in the region is. So this is something that I think we should keep it in the back of the mind. Because, of course, then those are other crops outside of the grains, like vegetables and fruits, in the case of South Africa, that are under irrigation, will benefit from better dam levels. They may be irrigated, but, of course, the intense heat will still cause a problem. Just about a week ago, I was talking to farmers that are in the citrus industry in South Africa. They were saying, yes, we are irrigating, things are going reasonably well, but this intense heat is messing up the fruit and causing spots on it. So this is unhelpful for anyone that is in the value chain. But then the people may say, okay, we hear the extent of this challenge, but what must happen? I have about four policy considerations that I think the governments in the region should think about on the backdrop of this problem. The first policy consideration is that we need to avoid export restrictions and the maize price caps. And I know that it's tempting to say, There's drought and food prices may be going up and then putting households under pressure. Then the governments in some in the regions, they may want to put a price cap on the commodities as they react on the limited supplies and want to restrict exports as well. And I think we shouldn't do this because we must remember that, as South Africans typically like to say, a cure for higher prices is higher prices, which basically means that when the rainfall finally comes, when it finally rains, the reasonably higher prices will incentivize farmers to plant more and be able then to see the prices come down. And certainly if you look at the long-term forecasts of the weather, it does mean look like we may be returning to La Nina when we go to the 2024-25 production season. But it's still too early. I don't want to focus on that. We have a problem now, and the policy proposition that I'm putting on the table is that let's avoid export restrictions. This also puts farmers at a bad shape because we must remember that most of them in the region are not protected from higher input costs, and they pay the world prices for the imported fertilizers, agrochemicals and seeds. So when you want to artificially depress prices, you're also putting farmers under pressure. So the government should avoid that. Then if that's the first policy proposition, what must happen if the households are under pressure? I do think that we must look at various support packages where there's fiscal space in various governments to create those packages targeted at a household level. We must support the household with all of those support packages that may be created depending on a country and depending on the size of the fiscal space each government may have. That's a second point. The third point, I do think that the regional government should begin to engage with the likes of the World Food Programme to prepare them to assist especially the least well-off countries with the maize imports. Zimbabwe, I know that they are already talking to the World Food Programme because they were the one predicting that over 2 million Zimbabweans will be in hunger, and then they were looking at ways of saying how should they ready for that. The last point that I would want to propose is that the governments in the region, working collectively with the private sector, should engage the likes of Mexico and even the United States farmers that will start planting in May to assess whether they can plant some white maize for the region in anticipation of the tighter stocks towards the end of the year, so that then they can import those from there. So those will be for me at this time the four points that perhaps maybe we could consider as a form of intervention on the backdrop of the challenge that we have in mind. But I must close by emphasizing that a lot of this is all tentative because, as I said, this is an ongoing target. It's unclear how much the extent of the damage in each of the country will be, but certainly there are indications that the current persistent drought or dryness, as well as the heat wave, is causing a lot more damage on the crops in the region. With that, folks, let me end there. My name is Wandile Sihlobo. I'm an agricultural economist based in Pretoria, South Africa. And you can listen more about some of the things that we write in our podcast within this channel. And you can read some of our text in my blog. The link for the blog is in the description of this podcast. Thank you so very much for listening.